my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
It's time for school, but you're not going to be saved by this bell. Established in 2016, Stride Pro Wrestling trainers have put their years of experience to help train the next generation of professional wrestlers. Nearly a dozen students have graduated and are now making a name for themselves, not only here at Stride Pro Wrestling, but beyond. Our athletes aren't locked into any long-term contracts, so if you want to train, use your head and contact Stride Pro Wrestling today. It's training you'll flip for. So kick your future into high gear now.
Excuse me. Everybody down.
Everybody on the ground now.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
What if you just took off? Get up in the morning, go somewhere. Come on.
Okay, yes, yes.
All units be on the lookout for a black Cadillac. Suspect's extremely dangerous.
Cadillac man, huh?
Might need a hostage.
Stop! Highway Patrol, this is John Triton. You have officers down, multiple assailants. They have a hostage. It's my wife.
The guy who called in.
John Triton, his next Marine.
Will somebody please shoot this guy?
What does it look like we're doing?
Missing.
This October, meet a one-man strike force that never surrenders.
I tried to kill this guy twice today. He just won't die.
Showed up, that's what.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 335 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast, and it is Movie Mania time. My co-host out there in beautiful sunny California, which I think we can say that today, is Chad Smart. Chad, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be here. I wish, you know, I should really pop some popcorn before we do these, and you know, I think we need to start to our Patreon subscribers so that if we get enough Patreons, maybe we can do a live watch along.
There you go.
For a future episode. And, or maybe following up with today's film, maybe just doing the entire series.
That would be interesting. and I made that sound as if it were a bad thing. And that I do not want that to be a predictor of how we rate and review and talk more about The Marine, which we will get to in just a minute or two. But before we get too deep into Movie Mania, I did want to kind of get some quick thoughts from you on WrestleMania, which was just last week. And, you know, we have talked before on this podcast at length about the times that we have gone to WrestleMania and the fun times that we've had and how this is like that WrestleMania season, and there's really, for a wrestling fan at least for me, it's hard to beat that this time of year. But what were your overall thoughts on two nights of WrestleMania just last week?
You know, I like the two nights better than one 8 or 9 hour long show. I'm going to guess that the employees behind the scenes probably do as well. But I thought night one was stronger than night two. Mm-hmm. Night two really, starting off night two with Randy Orton versus The Fiend in a match that you and I have discussed off air, I was not into at all. And also the fact that it's, you know, you kick off a show with Randy Orton, you're losing me right off the bat. And that match just, I thought, fell flat with everything that they did. And I don't know where that storyline is going now. But yeah, you know, I think the main event on night one of Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks was an incredible match. And I am waiting for someone to deem Bianca Belair's hair as a foreign object and get it to be where she can't use it in a match. Kind of like, you know, Lex Luger had the implant in his arm that he couldn't use, or, you know, will they put her, you know, will they have to cut Bianca Belair's hair, or will she have to wear like a helmet that she can't, so she can't use it. Vince Russo, come on. You got to get that stipulation in there somewhere. But no, I thought, you know, I think it did help having fans, you know, even I think there are only like 25,000 fans, and it's a good presentation. I don't understand why on the second night when they were doing America the Beautiful, why they kept showing shots from the night before of the roster on the stage. That just seems kind of odd. But I still think WrestleMania hosts are useless and pointless. But overall, I was pleasantly pleased with the show. And, you know, some more news came out a few days later that WWE goes in this next year to the next WrestleMania. Because I'm sure they've got everything mapped out and where they want to go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, someone who was not on this year's WrestleMania, who has been a staple with WrestleMania, and someone we're going to be talking a lot about today, is John Cena, who is the star of our film, The Marine. And if Chad, correct me if I'm wrong, this is one of the first WWE films that was released, and it's John Cena's first movie. Is that right?
I believe so. I'm going to look it up. That was the one thing I did not pull up ahead of time, but yes, it's interesting because this movie was shot actually 2 years prior to being released.
It was
the fourth film to be released, which I mean the first two were The Rundown and Walking, which I think those were just WWE, I think they got production credit on them because they included The Rock. But See No Evil with Kane was the first official WWE film release. And then The Marine came second, which is kind of surprised me. I didn't realize this came out before The Condemned. I thought The Condemned was one of the early WWE films. And I mean, it was the third film, but I thought it came out earlier. I didn't realize that See No Evil was the first. I think next month we may have to do See No Evil.
Save that for Halloween.
I don't know the date, you know, looking at a calendar probably would help, but would the episode be coming out around May 19th?
Okay. I see what I'm
picking up. May 19th is a Wednesday, so.
Well, we can discuss that. We can discuss that. Something else I wanted to mention to you, since, especially now that you've brought it up, this was filmed 2 years before its release. So John Cena obviously was on that trajectory of becoming a megastar, but was still kind of, you know, in 2004, when this film would have been filmed, he's U.S. champion. I know he had beaten Big Show at that year's WrestleMania for the U.S. title. I believe that was his first singles championship run in WWE. And a year later, of course, he wins the WWE Championship and the Spinner Belt, and then kind of gets cemented in as you know, the top dog for many, many years. So I didn't realize there was such a window in between the filming of this and then its actual release, which may have worked in WWE's favor.
Maybe, yeah. I think Cena would have been, you know, a bigger star by the time it came out. And watching it, and I think, you know, obviously this movie came out in 2006, so we're 15 years beyond, which 2006 was 15 years ago, Kevin. Where has time gone? I mean, that was our first WrestleMania. It's been 15 years. But I, you know, Cena has gone on to be in other movies. He's now co-host of Wipeout, which I've only watched about 5 minutes of the new incarnation. I don't know if you've seen it, but, you know, my first question to you regarding this film is, do you think if John Cena would have made this movie, say, in the last 5 years, we would have got a different style of performance from him?
You know, I haven't seen enough of John Cena's other body of work to make that determination, but I you know, I was thinking about this, and I always think about this as I'm watching any of these films that have wrestlers as kind of the lead roles or you know, prominent roles in the movies. And you know, you and I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and really, you know, Hulk Hogan was our main movie star. You know, Jesse Ventura, Roddy Piper, they both did films as well. But you know, I think Hulk Hogan kind of, you know, and I don't want to be completely dismissive of it, but I feel like Hulk Hogan going to Hollywood kind of, you know, gave that bad precedent of wrestlers can't make movies. Mm-hmm. You know, there was not, you know, no holds barred, you know, all the movies that Hulk Hogan did, I think, other than Rocky, which obviously a very minor part of Rocky, Rocky III, but you know, the wrestler starring in films, to me, it left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And as you know, for me as a film watcher, you know, no holds barred, it was what it was. I watched it because I was a wrestling fan, but you know, all the other films after that, it just seemed like one bad movie after another. And so I think for a long time, there was a bit of, you know, and I don't know that I'm going to want to see wrestlers going to Hollywood. And, you know, I get it. And it's actually paid off and proven to be better nowadays. I think, you know, I think The Rock really kind of led the way and took us to new places that, you know, as an actor, you know, he's the, I don't know if he still is, but at one point he was the biggest paid movie star out there. He was the biggest star in the world. So, you know, we would have never seen that with Hulk Hogan or with Jesse Ventura or even Stone Cold Steve Austin. And will John Cena land in that same trajectory? I don't think so, but I think that he is definitely on the better side of things, if that makes sense.
No, I see. I agree with you. And I think, you know, with the exception of Dwayne Johnson, who is, you know, star, but I mean, you can't deny that he has the charisma and, right, and the comedy chops as well to play different roles, where I think Hogan, it was very typecast as Hulk Hogan in, right, his films. And, you know, Piper did well in They Live, mm-hmm, and Jesse Ventura had supporting roles in The Running Man and Predator. And you look at Batista now, he's done a few movies where he's the lead, but he's more of the side, you know, a side role. And I think that's better. So I would say, you know, is it better for them to, you know, go with a smaller role to show what they can do instead of being, and I think this is kind of what Cena did in The Marine, is he's front and center, again, as the time that this was recording, even though he was the doctor of Thugonomics, you know, around this time. I actually think that may have came up a little bit after the filming. I'm not sure exactly what the film dates were. But, you know, I think he was put in there as just, you know, a stoic, muscle-bound guy who can shoot a gun. Yeah. And the stuff that he's doing now, like when he did Trainwreck, the Amy Schumer film, and, you know, even with Fire, which, you know, not necessarily a great film, but he got to show more personality. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is more, I mean, you know, if we were back in the 80s, this could have been a Charles Bronson film. And you don't expect great acting from Charles Bronson. You just expect him to go out and kill the bad guy.
Right. Yeah. This was, I thought, you know, a very paint by numbers formula, and, you know, you could have dropped any, you know, in shape, you know, charismatic WWE superstar. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to cast this with a WWE superstar, you know, it could have been anyone in that role. I think, you know, I don't think that John Cena, did a bad job by any means, but I don't think that it was necessarily a role that, you know, it's kind of your stereotypical action film, I thought.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, the plot's very simple. It's diamond thieves go rogue, and due to a situation that gets blown out of control, they kidnap John Cena's wife, and then he has to go and, you know, rescue her. So there's not much to the story. I will say that is a favor, and it's in or a point in its favor that as the movie is only an hour and a half long, it moves pretty quickly. It didn't seem to drag. And we'll state that, you know, you and I watched the unrated version, which I did look up, and that the unrated is 20 seconds longer, as 8 extra shots of more violence than the theatrical cut. So, you know, did it add to the story? I don't think so, but yeah, I was just, you know, and watching this, and I think I'm going to kind of tangent off and throw this to you. Like you said, we grew up in the action heyday. You know, we had Stallone and Schwarzenegger and Chuck Norris and Bronson and Jean-Claude Van Damme, Steven Seagal. I remember watching those movies, and maybe it's because I was a teenager, and having fun with them. Watching The Marine, I'm just like, oh, come on. Like, it was a little too over the top, but is it, and I, you know, I think this goes into a wrestling discussion too, of watching wrestling back in the 80s, it was easier to suspend disbelief and just be like, oh, this is great. Whereas now we could critique like, oh, you know, a rock bottom gets a pin. Like, yeah. Really? Like, you know, so what were your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think, how did you, what, you know, when you were watching the film, were you rolling your eyes or were you engaged?
A little bit of both. I will say that. And I will actually put out there too, my wife, who does not like wrestling at all. She had asked me, you know, what I was doing the podcast on this week. And I said, I actually need to watch a movie, because honestly, this past week has been just a crazy week for me. And I was going to call an audible and see about just reviewing the season of Young Rock so far. That was going to be my backup, because I'm like, am I going to have 2 hours to sit down and watch this film? And actually it being 90 minutes also helped with that. Right. But when I told her, she's like, oh, I'll watch it. So we watched it together, and she didn't dislike it. You know, will she watch it again? Not likely. And I don't know that I would either, but that being said, probably the biggest takeaway for me was, and I don't know, because I, you know, my action film watching has, you know, waned since way back in the day, but I felt like John Cena was constantly, you know, getting his ass kicked at points, you know, specifically, in the gas station when he gets hit in the face with the, fire extinguisher. And when he comes to and he opens his eyes and, you know, there's not a scratch on him. You know, his clothes stayed intact the whole time. He didn't, you know, hair was, you know, not that he had a whole lot of hair anyway, but it was like all of this abuse. And, you know, when he's in the woods chasing after him and he's doing all these things, you know, cause I went back in my head to Die Hard and how messed up John McClane's face, you know, Bruce Willis's face was throughout the course of that movie. He's bleeding and he's got, you know, the black, you know, all this stuff. And the guy even, you know, pounding on John Cena's face at one point. And it's like, and that was like, kind of like, but then it's like, well, this is like a wrestling match. You know what I mean? They're unscathed as well, pretty much. If you are applying logic and reality to it, you know, when Big Show is punching people in the face like that, they should have some sort of mark on it. So I took that out of the equation, but that was probably my biggest takeaway, was how immaculate John Cena continued to look throughout the course of this.
I didn't even think about that, but you make a good point. And maybe it is due to the wrestling connection. Like, you just, you know, that's how it is. But yeah, I was just, you know, the scene where, when he's chasing the bad guys and they're shooting at him, and I think they unload about 200 rounds.
Yes.
A lot more than 12 rounds.
Yeah.
into the car, and you're just, it's like, oh, come on. Like, yeah. But again, it's an action movie. You're,
right.
You know, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know what's going to happen as soon as you hit play.
Yeah.
There's nothing earth-shattering about the script. There's nothing... I think some of the action scenes were very well done, and the car chase scene I thought was very well. You know, it reminded me kind of Mad Max style car chase. But yeah, overall, for a trip, it's a very basic action movie, which I think for WWE getting into the game was probably a smart idea.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do have to say, I hope I'm not ruining anything for you, but Robert Patrick is in this film as well, who was the, I don't know the character's name, but he was the bad guy in
1000.
What? Oh, okay. 1000 in Terminator. And I'm sure, did you catch it? I'm sure you caught it.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I thought that was pretty clever, pretty funny. So there is a Terminator reference in there as well that you have to watch and you will enjoy it. So, because when it started, I'm like, that looks like the guy. And I thought, you know, and then it started coming back to me, but he was really, outside of obviously John Cena, he was the only actor in that film that I really kind of recognized.
Yeah, I did look up the cast, and because I remember when this movie came out and the actress that plays Cena's wife, and I think she was on Monday Night Raw, or they, you know, did a video package of Cena talking about her and everything. And I didn't recognize the name. She was on the TV show Nip Tuck, which would have been popular at the time.
Okay.
But there's nothing else in her IMDb filmography that I had recognized. And same way with the the cast. I think they're all working actors, but they're not doing films that I have seen. They have not made the top 100 box office list. Even Robert Patrick, you know, he went on to do, right, probably before this, he was on X-Files after David Duchovny left. But, yeah. You know, hopefully if they reboot Double Dragon, he will get to come back as the villain in that again. But yeah, he's kind of, he had his heyday in the 90s, and now he's doing, you know, smaller films. But you know what? I don't know if you saw this, but this was originally intended, speaking of Robert Patrick, it was supposed to be Steve Austin in the John Cena role. But this was right, again, right when they were filming, is right when Austin left WWE in 2004. Mm-hmm. And then instead of Robert Patrick, they wanted Al Pacino.
Oh, wow.
And from what I read, the salary was too low for Pacino, which I can, you know, imagine. But yeah, I think it would have been a whole different film if Al Pacino was in this. Because I think Robert Patrick had the understated coldness of the role, whereas Pacino's now emotes everything.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, we were talking about Hulk Hogan and Jesse Ventura and Batista and some of the others who have done movies. You know, I love Steve Austin. Steve Austin's one of my all-time favorites, you know, in the ring. I'm not crazy about him. I feel like he's kind of one of those guys that is kind of like Hulk Hogan, where he gets kind of typecasted into that role. I think Steve Austin is an amazing host, though. I like him on the Redneck Games, or I can't – I'm
Redneck Island and Broken Skull Ranch, yeah.
Yeah, Broken Skull Ranch. That was what I like him in those roles, and I love him as the host of the Broken Skull Sessions. I think that he does a really good job of kind of breaking things down and getting in there and interviewing and asking questions and stuff. But as far as like the acting side of things, I don't know. I would definitely put him below Dwayne, Batista, and John Cena. I think those are probably your three. I haven't given The Miz enough of a chance yet to say, but you know, those are my probably three. When I think of WWE actors who are successful, I would throw those three into the mix for sure.
Yeah. Have you seen Grown Ups 2?
No.
Okay. What's that?
I don't think I have. Who's in that?
It's Adam Sandler and all of his friends.
Yeah, I mean, but who's there's somebody from
Austin viewing there, right? Austin's in it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, a few years ago, I saw a movie called The Package, which is Steve Austin and Dolph Lundgren. And Austin did a Q&A afterwards, and it's kind of like The Marine. It's like standard action film. And I wish I would have asked the question, but I don't really care to interact with these things, that Austin, his filmography is kind of like Hogan, where he does a lot of action films. I think if he could find a good comedy, that would be probably show he is this action star. And like you said, he's got the comedic chops to do that because of his, like you said, with him hosting, he's good at showing personality instead of just being the guy beating everyone up. And I don't, maybe he just hasn't been offered those roles, but I would like to see him in a comedic role. And going back to Grown-Ups too, I thought he did well in that role.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
I found it interesting too, that this film, actually made money. It was budgeted at $15 million and you know, at the box office came in at just over $22 million. So were you surprised by that?
I was. Prior to The Call, which is a WWE film that I actually did see in the theater, this was its best performing, WWE's best performing film. And and I looked up the opening weekend, which was October 13th, 2006, and The Marine came in at sixth place, and which isn't outstanding, but for a WWE film, that's pretty made $8 million its opening weekend. And and granted, the top five were The Departed, which went on to win Best Picture, Grudge 2, which is just low budget horror films that do well, and this again released in October, so Halloween month. And then you had Man of the Year, which is a Robin Williams satirical comedy about politicians. Open Season, a animated film, and then Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning. So, not a lot of great films on that list, but definitely films that I can understand why they made money. And again, for WWE's really first or second venture into filmmaking, I think you have to be, if you're WWE, you have to be happy with how well it did.
Yeah, and the other thing that really kind of blew my mind, and I, now that I sit and think about it, WWE Films or WWE Studios was created almost 20 years ago.
Yeah. They've
been around for almost 20, WWE Films outlasted WCW, as far as longevity. And it's hard for me to wrap my brain around that because, and again, we're not getting, Oscar winning performances or anything like that. And I'm excited with this podcast with doing Movie Mania and being able to watch some of these movies and specials and whatnot. Cause I hadn't seen most of the WWE films that we're going to watch, I'd never seen before. So it's kind of a fun thing to do, I think, as well. And I think most of the superstars are going to be more inclined to be, in action films because, I think there's a stereotype with that or, inaccurate assessment or whatever you want to call it. But, The Marine, obviously, we talked about making $22 million. It must have been good enough for them because there are six incarnations of this film.
Yeah, well, and that's, the rest all go straight to video, but which is a lucrative market as well. And a lot of franchise and made money back. But, I'm curious when we get into the Marines 3 through 87 to see how well The Miz does, because I was going to throw this out at you. This has nothing to do with movies, but per se. But thought that I had last night is that The Miz and John Morrison should be the modern day Rock and Roll Express. These are two guys who are for attractive guys. I just think that their personalities should be like the Ricky and Robert, but they're more Dennis and Bobby. they're more mid. I don't know why, other than the fact that The Miz has a punchable face And John Morrison calls himself Johnny Drip Drip now. I think they should be a bigger babyface team had last night, which shows why I should not eat Taco Bell right before going to bed.
Yes, that's probably some good advice there. You know, you had actually sent some interesting talking points, and you had asked me a question about, you know, would Cena be better in this role today versus how it was 15 years ago? What are your thoughts? Do you think he has come more into his own as an actor and not just a one-dimensional performer on the big screen?
I think so. I think he's probably more comfortable in front of a camera now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think in these roles too, it's also depending on the director, if they can pull something out of the actor, you know, I just watched this 90s film called Diabolique the other day, and it's Sharon Stone. And I thought Sharon Stone's performance was performances I've seen, because it was just very wooden, even though, you know, she's been acting for 13 years, and this came after Basic Instinct and Total Recall. So I think your director really has to know how to get the best out of the actor if they can't do it themselves. But yeah, I think, and the director of this movie, his name is John Benito, and I'd never heard the name. He only has one other film credit after The Marine. And looking up his background, he worked for NBC Universal, which probably helped get him in contact with WWE. And he created a lot of branding commercial spots. And he seems to be more of a commercial director. So, you know, there have been a lot of directors moving from commercials to movies. But yeah, I think he probably works best in a shorter, shorter format where you don't have to lot of personality, I guess, or you get a small dose of personality and not have to stretch it out over 90 minutes. But yeah, I definitely think, again, based on what I've seen of Cena and other films, I think he has the potential to be better than he was in The Marine.
So let's kind of get more into the, you know, we've talked about the story, we've talked about the actors and the action and, you know, some of the over the top with it. Now, what I found interesting too was the fact that, and you know, we're not going to give any spoilers here, but I didn't really feel, I was surprised that there were five more incarnations of this movie, but you know, kind of reading some of the synopsis of those other Marine films, it's not, you know, cause sometimes, you know, how they take the same character and use different actors. That doesn't seem to be the case with the Marine.
Okay. Yeah. I know nothing about the installments other than they changed WWE actors. You know, I was kind of surprised. I thought this would be, even though I knew what the plot was going to be, other than the opening scene, there's not any military action in this film.
That's what I found interesting too, was that the name of this movie is The Marine, and other than that first maybe 10 minutes of the film, mm-hmm. you would never know that he was in the military. I mean, obviously then I guess that's the basis of which he has been, you know, able to be so swift and so, you know, daring and all of his rescues and whatnot. But yeah, you know, it was like a John Cena match, you know, you expect Super Cena to kind of prevail and do his thing and, you know, take the ass whipping for a little bit and then, you know, things turn around and start going his way. And, you know, there's some twists and turns along the way. And, you know, you would ask me too, you know, would this have been better with a non-WWE actor? I don't think so. I think that it's, you know, it's that very basic story. And, you know, like you said, Charles Bronson, you know, if this was made in the 80s, you know, I could see a Charles Bronson or, you know, even a Dolph Lundgren or, you know, someone along those lines that, you know, I didn't hate it, I guess is what I'm getting at. And I think that the length of the film and then the action was very consistent and very, you know, there was not a whole lot of downtime, a lot of dull moments in it.
No, I agree with you. I think, that the pacing of this film is really well done, and it doesn't give you time to get, it doesn't get bogged down in backstory. You know, it's just, hey, this guy's wife gets kidnapped. He's got to get them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just goes from there. So I give the movie props for that. I think this movie is very aware of what it is, mm-hmm. and does it well. It's just a, you know, there's just nothing unique about it. I guess we've said with them, you know, bringing in Ted DiBiase Jr. for Marine 2 and The Miz for the next incarnation. It's like, it's an interchangeable character. There's really nothing there. And I guess that's, you know, I'm trying to think back on the 80s action movies. Stallone or Schwarzenegger is like this big hulking muscular guy, but even in the movies, he's playing kind of an everyman type character. And you look at John McClane, who, even though he's a cop, he's, you know, he doesn't appear to be super cop. He uses his wits to outsmart the bad guys and whatnot. And this is more of just, like you said, kind of a Super Cena WWE match where, okay, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to fight, and LOL, Cena wins. Spoiler.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say you brought up Schwarzenegger, and I did feel like at the very beginning, you know, cause we're setting the scene that he is a Marine and he's, you know, in some terrorist hold or something going on. And, the way John Cena looks, you know, he's got the camouflage paint on and, you know, it's John Cena's haircut. It reminded me of Commando.
Okay.
Is that the right one?
That's the one where he has to rescue Alyssa Milano.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That was the first kind of vibe I got. And so, and you know, I mean, John Cena obviously is an impressive looking individual. So it's not hard to buy him as an action hero. And, you know, his wife and the whole, you know, thing that they go through is, you know, it's easy to believe this film. I think from that standpoint of, you know, this guy, okay, if you wanted someone, you know, to help you save someone in your life, I'm going to call John Cena if he's at my disposal, because he's just that kind of guy.
Yeah. I think it's, again, I'm trying to rack my brain back to 2004 WWE to see who, you know, who else could have been on in this film. And I guess, you know, maybe Batista. You know, I'm kind of surprised that Triple H wasn't in there, although maybe he didn't want to cut his hair at that time. But yeah, I don't know how many more ways I can say it's a perfectly fine film. It's just what you're getting yourself into. If you don't like action movies, you're not going to like The Marine, but if you like John Cena and action, then you should enjoy this movie for what it is.
That's right. And so let's get to kind of our ranking system of, you know, is it a main event? Is it a mid card? Or is this an enhancement match?
Yeah, I forgot that we do the rankings like that. I would say this is a mid card match. You know, I enjoyed it. On my spreadsheet that I keep of all the films that I watch now, I rank everything 1 to 10. Usually it's more like 1 to 7 because it has to be really good to get an 8, 9, or 10. I gave this a 5. It's a middle of the road film that, like I said, you know what you're getting into. It doesn't do anything new or creative, but it also doesn't, it's not a bad film. It's just, I think this is definitely a mid card, John Cena versus, John Morrison type match John Cena versus R-Truth from 2016, 17, whenever they feuded.
There you go. Yeah, I would agree. I would probably give it a little more than a 5. I might go like a 6, 6.5. I'm not a big, you know, action film person. And I'd be more inclined to watch an action film if it had someone in it that I liked, and you know, I do like John Cena, and I did want to, you know, give it a shot and see what his first acting adventure was all about. And you know, like I said, I would be interested. I would actually go back and watch this again if they remade it today with John Cena, just to see the range, and because I do think that he will have obviously grown. You know, I don't think any of us are the same person that we were 15 years ago. So yeah. I think as a performer and the experience, you know, John Cena, like we said, as they were filming this was even before his run as WWE champion. And then how many times did he kind of get pushed into that spotlight of being the top guy and being the face of the company and talking and, you know, co-hosting the Today Show. And, you know, now he's on Wipeout, as you mentioned earlier, and all the other accolades that he's added to his resume since then. So, yeah, I definitely think it would be a better film today. And they might even have more of a budget to play with. I'm sure WWE Films has continued to, you know, do some things. But I would watch it again today for sure.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I was just thinking, you know, if you expanded some of the backstory, when he comes home and he's meeting his wife, you know, after he's back from his last deployment, all I could think about, and I don't watch the show, and so you probably know more about the Total Bellas and the Total Divas than I do, but, you know, did John Cena have a lot of rules for his wife that they had to follow?
That's right.
I don't know. But one last thing that I'll ask you is, now, when it comes to Marines, did John Cena live up to the legacy of Drew Carey, Montel Williams, Gene Hackman, Ed McMahon, and Adam Driver as other famous Marines?
I would say so, yes. I would definitely. I didn't know many of those people were Marines. So I think that he definitely, you know, and he's one of those guys that even before this movie, you would look at and say, okay, I could see this guy, you know, he's an honorable, the John Cena that we see on WWE TV, you know, you look at someone who is an honorable person who is willing to fight for what they believe in and stand up for, you know, the little guy, so to speak. So I think that was a perfect role for John Cena circa 2005, 2006.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And looking at the WWE studio release, the next film with John Cena is a movie called he did 12 Rounds, which I've not seen. But then in 2010, he does a movie called Legendary. And I think he has a smaller role. He's not necessarily the lead. And I have seen that movie. I mean, I saw it, you know, probably like 9 years ago. But I think he does a good job in that too as the character. So I'm sure we will see more John Cena down the line. And we'll see how he grows as an actor.
I 100% agree. And, you know, you've convinced me to call an audible. We usually have folks vote on the films that we're going to watch. But we can't not do See No Evil now because of the whole May 19th thing. So it makes more sense to do it now or do it in May than to wait. So we'll have to figure out where it's streaming and find it and watch it. Have you seen See No Evil?
I have not, because I'm not a huge horror fan anymore. So, I just, you know, I wish this was a visual show so we could just throw up the pictures of Kane at the premiere in his wrestling gear while everyone else is dressed nicely. But we'll save that discussion for next month.
That's right. That's right. We'll add it in the write-up and stuff. So, Chad, anything else about the Marine as we kind of wrap up and put a bow on this week's episode?
I just, you know, after watching this movie and talking about it, I just want to go grab a Miller Genuine Draft.
Yeah, definitely well product placement going on there. That would be my other little nitpick about it, though, is when they get to the place and it's been shut down and then the generator fires up, and then they're popping beers and drinking them as if you're in the swamp, and it's got to be hot. That beer could not have been cold. But that, again, minor nitpick, but yeah, I chuckled when you added that to the list of questions. Yeah,
you can discuss that on the next Under the Influence.
There you go. All righty. Well, Chad Smart is, of course, the co-host here with Movie Mania. Be sure to check him out on social media and follow at Chad Smart on Twitter, at my123cents, and I am, of course, at Kevin Huntsberger. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in this week, and we will talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.